The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb and Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and the crew. The MGO Blog Roundtable crew is with us, as they are every Thursday around this time. Starting off with the man that started it all at MGO Blog is Brian Cook. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
You are well. Craig Ross with the Hassan Haskins jersey hanging proudly in the back. How are you?
Yeah, I also have got, that's Larry in the background, if you can see him, from the Stooges, who I consider the superior Stooge because he always had the good ideas.
So is that new? I guess I can't say. Is that Pee-wee Herman up there too?
Yeah, that's Pee-wee up there. He's sort of, you know, he's on the social outs. But I did have my brother gave me a Pee-wee Herman, and he's whispering in the Larry's ear, giving him, you know, better ideas.
Yeah, maybe. Good on you. So who had the Haskins jersey first, Seth? You or Craig?
I think Seth.
It's me by, yeah, it's got to be me by far. That was when we were doing Hail of the Victors last year, and I was going back and UFRing the Michigan State game from 2020 in, like, the spring, because I'm insane. And I was trying to look for ways to get excited for that 2021 season after 2-4, and Haskins was, like, jumping over people, running through people, and I was like, okay, this guy's got me excited, so...
I got you. All right, so fellas, let's dive in, to steal a phrase from one of my son's favorite Paw Patrol characters. Let's dive into this sort of Big Ten news that looks like, sounds like it's on the horizon. We saw the Pac-12 do away with divisions last week, and then this week you hear, I think it was, what's the Michigan, Alan Haller is his name? He said, hey, something's coming, but I can't say what. Like, he's like, dude, just... don't say anything if that's what you're going to give us. Come to find out, through some sleuthing, fans, they went to fbschedules.com. All the Big Ten schedules were wiped. Future schedules were wiped. Went to MGO Blue. Michigan's future schedule, Big Ten schedules were wiped. Really seems like something's afoot when it comes to Big Ten scheduling. Is it, you think, doing away with divisions? What do you think is in the offing here, Brian?
Well, that's the thing that makes sense. That's the one rule change that has happened recently that would cause that sort of change. I think we talked about this last week, where I'm not in favor of it because of Michigan, Ohio State being essentially a conference championship game most years. And then to play that again is...
are you surprised that it's like now? Like, they're talking about... I guess I thought it would be a little farther off for them, but it sounds like this is right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I mean, I guess from a television perspective, Michigan-Iowa was not compelling. And most Ohio State championship games are not compelling either. So you get the odd year where it's like Iowa versus Michigan State, and that's actually a good game, but most of the time you get into these and it's like 42-3 or 56-0 or whatever. So the Big Ten championship game is really a dud most years, and I can understand why they would think that maybe Michigan Ohio State part two would make more money, and that's the thing that they really care about, right?
That's what they really care about.
Well, Craig? What do you think about that? I mean are you okay with a doubleheader in Michigan,
no.
Ohio State?
Absolutely not.
No,
it's not.
Absolutely gross to have, like, the Michigan Ohio State game be the last game of the season, and then it's like, oh, guess what? Michigan Ohio State 2 the next week. It just feels like absurd. Like, it's a little absurd that, you know, the SEC championship game was Alabama versus Georgia, and the national championship game was Alabama versus Georgia. But at least they had to get through playoff games to get there. It's not the next week.
Yeah, I'm feeling not quite so negative on that, just because for the reasons you just said. I don't think anyone got worked up about the doubleheader.
So what about this? What about this Alabama as an alternative? And it's been brought up before. We mentioned it yesterday, and as a matter of fact, I think it was mentioned on the show. Didn't Dave Brandon come on this show and kind of float that, Ira, or did he float it elsewhere too? Moving Michigan, Ohio State to earlier in the season.
I think the trial balloon was just here.
Yeah, so he came on, this obviously years ago now, and talked about moving that game, moving that game up. Yeah. If they do away with divisions and the
Hi, I'm Dave Brandon.
And the prospect.
No.
That was the first moment, because remember Dave Brandon, the history of Dave Brandon with us is like there was that silly investigation into practice gate, and he handled that how you would want him to handle that. And then like the first inkling we had that Dave Brandon was really Dave Brandon was that.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, why don't we move Ohio State up earlier in the season so that they're not played back-to-back weeks? And we were like, oh, no. So this guy's in charge.
If they do away with divisions, is that a plan that you would be more amenable to at this point?
I don't think so, because we already know what time the Ohio State game is. We know what network it's on. It's at noon. It's on Fox. They announced that 7 months before the game. You know, it's the last week of the season. It's at noon. Toe meets leather at noon under a steel gray sky.
You know, Brian, you should be doing that game, not the guys that got doing it.
And so it feels like there's
Brian would be better.
Is nothing sacred anymore? I mean, so many things have changed with college football, and I think some of these changes are good, but also like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a sport where tradition is something that's supposed to matter. And if we do away with divisions and it's like, well, Michigan, Ohio State, we have this choice, then I mean, I just don't feel like that's the way to go.
So
I mean,
I feel so like back the to way back, to go, back-to-back weeks would be the lesser of two evils to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way to go is to throw like Penn State and Michigan State in the other division and just like whatever. Geography does not matter. You know, just have the or just do some pods and switch some things up, but consistently have the teams who are performing the best in the division who aren't Michigan or Ohio State in the other division.
You know, so. I like this idea. I like the idea of and it wouldn't have to be fixed necessarily. I like the idea of realigning the divisions maybe every couple of years so that there's balance of strength within the divisions. And so right now it would look like, okay, what if you left Michigan and Ohio State in the east, so-called east, but you pushed Penn State, maybe Michigan State over to the West. And so now your conference championship game is much more likely to be a game that will be A, interesting and B, have some national eyes on the screen. So, I mean, that seems like a better idea to me. Now, Seth's idea, Seth wrote why don't you explain what you did, Seth, because I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I talked about it last week, and then I wrote it up. It's the showcase plan. And I went through all these old seasons in the Big Ten when they had divisions. First of all, I'm a little nervous that one of the reasons that they are pushing for the Big Ten wants to do this right away is that Wisconsin, Ohio State is about to get locked in. Michigan was locked in with Wisconsin for a while. Nebraska was locked in with Nebraska. Ohio State is about to have the hardest schedule in the Big Ten, other than some teams like Indiana, who always ends up locked in with Michigan, Ohio State. But Ohio State's about to have a tougher schedule, and they're upset about that. They think it's unfair that it's not unfair anymore. I'm a little nervous because the Big Ten, if you could track the changes they've made over time, a lot of times it's just reactive to whatever Ohio State needs right now. That thrown out of the way. The showcase plan, I went through all these back seasons, and even with the divisions, when the divisions mess you up, having divisions actually creates a worse schedule and a worse Big Ten champion. But even with divisions, the showcase plan made sure we had a great game at the end of every single season. Most of the time, it was the same championship game. That Michigan State Iowa game that was, you know, a really good game and everyone was interested in, they played that, right? You just don't have – I hate seeing the same team again. I think that should be illegal. I think that if I across college football, like if you
right to jail,
if you played a team already, then you and they're in the playoffs, you don't get to be in the playoffs. Like, I think that there should never, if you, that's it. You play a team, that's the only time you can play that team all year. And, you know, I don't want to see Georgia, Alabama again. If you lose the SEC championship, you're out. That should be it.
Interesting. What do you think about that one? I don't know what I think.
I mean, I think you can make an argument for it. Like, I think no rematches is pretty compelling. Like, it would have kicked the clearly best team in college football out of the playoff last year, but sometimes them's the breaks. So, I mean, is it fair? No. But is the rest of college football fair? No. So why are we so concerned about whether something is fair to Georgia?
Right.
Like, just no rematches.
All right. So another news item, Michigan, you know, trying to make another move in the NIL space, you know, making a cutting a deal that will allow student athletes to benefit from the, you know, the licensing with and trademark of, you know, the Block M. And I'm curious what you guys think about that.
I just want to see a Block M on the Big Dickinson Energy shirt. Let's officially license that one.
I kind of think I as funny as it would be, I'm kind of not expecting to see that one.
I just like. No, I mean, it's good. It's good that it's publicly out there. I mean, I think getting called out by pretty much the big man on campus right now, both in a literal and figurative sense, probably put some coals in the fire there. And we'll see. Like, I know Michigan seems like they've been pretty slow out of the gate here. But, I mean, once this gets, I think, normalized and it's everybody's doing it and, like, there's going to be some sort of consensus on what is permissible and what isn't. And Michigan has probably been too careful so far because it's not like the NCAA is going to enforce anything on anyone. Mm-hmm. But once there's sort of a, this is how things are these days, the money cannon should get up and running. And I think it's just the train needs a little bit of time to build up momentum.
I mean, isn't there an argument that Michigan's actually done this right? In the way that the rules are sort of intended.
No, which is, because if no. Nick Saban is complaining about Texas A&M, Texas A&M is doing it right.
I mean, that's one view of it, and I hear it. But another view of it is, look, we're not just going to start writing contracts, professional contracts, essentially, as a way of getting players in our program. What we're going to do is say, hey, once you're in our program, we'll create opportunities for you or try and facilitate opportunities for you, but you're going to have to do a lot of that yourself. It is, in fact, your name, image, and likeness that you can market. And we're going to help you market your name, image, and likeness. But we're not all of a sudden becoming the Toledo Mudhens. And so I kind of like what Michigan has done. Now, is it going to be effective? I know we're sitting at number 20 last time I checked on this year's. Maybe this is something we could talk about in this conjunction. Is that? Here's, I checked the Michigan at the moment, the national recruiting ratings for whatever that means. I think you guys put more credence in it than I do, but you got Notre Dame 1, Penn State 3, Ohio State 4, Northwestern 8, Cincy 14, Iowa 16, Michigan State 17, and Michigan 20. Now, which of those teams is coming off the best season?
Notre Dame is not going to finish with the number one class in the country.
Maybe not.
They'll be up there.
You can't look at class rankings right now.
But they're going to be up there. And
I understand your point. The way that Michigan should be looking at this is the way that Brian's right about Texas A&M, and Brian's right that it's going to normalize. The NCAA is going to find some way, whether they have to make a deal with a players union or what, they're going to find some way to normalize this because it's just not going to fly the way it's working right now. Until they do, there is a window to throw all the money you can at making your program better. And if you get talented now, that talent is going to be here, or at least most of it, in 3 years. So Michigan should be open up the wallets and saying, this is our one opportunity. It's nuts right now. This is our opportunity to get in there, get nuts, and put together a team that's going to be competitive for the next few years. The worst thing you can do is sit back while everybody is, you know, at the cash bar and just let everyone else do their thing. And then in 3 years, when everyone's got all this talent and you don't, you're, you know, now you want to work in the new system. Like, college football is not nice to teams that don't get ahead.
Yeah, that's a fair point. What do you think about that, Sam?
Yeah, I don't expect that to be the approach.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I'm not saying that I disagree. I'm not saying that I disagree with that because you are charged with creating the rules. They essentially said there are no rules here. Kind of keep this in mind, but really, it's whatever you want to do. And so you see some teams that are just being very forward. Very forward. And you could be more aggressive without, you know, going full Texas A&M, allegedly, right? And to be clear, Nick Saban isn't the only coach saying that about A&M. Like, a lot of coaches are saying that about A&M. And it's really sort of part of what's moved the meter for other schools. Like, okay, so you can do that. There's no consequence, no repercussions. You could actually finagle it so it's legal. You have plausible deniability. There are teams that are operating like that, succeeding like that. But I just, you know, the spirit of the rule, what it was intended to be, I think is what has and will continue to guide Michigan. And if that
we are the only school in the country that cares one iota about the intent of the rule.
What was the intent of the rule?
To not be paid for play.
The NCAA was like, we can't deal with this.
Yeah, their only intent was, we don't want to get sued. That was
right.
We don't want to get sued.
Like, what?
There
what?
Is no intent to that rule other
what
than not getting sued. There's no reason to follow that rule.
Is Michigan like standing out here? It's like, well, we can pay these players, but we can't pay these. We can't like tell them that they're going to get paid X amount before they get here. They just got to guess. Like, what is the principle we're upholding here? Like, uncertainty? Are we like the University of Werner Heisenberg?
I guess. And look, what I'm saying is very speculative here. I honestly haven't had a discussion about this is the thought process with from an administrative level. This is the thought process with regard to approach. But what I'm assuming is the case is that they want a very, very clear and bright line between, NIL, name, image, likeness, and pay for play. Hey, you come here because you are getting this deal. And some schools are doing it. Some schools are. I'll say it again. On signing day, I know of a prospect who was committed to a school. We'll just keep it very, you know, broad and vague. Committed to a school. And before he announced that commitment publicly, he got a call from a coach from another school who said, whatever that school that you're committing to today is giving you, we will double it. I was like, wow, they're that forward. Wow, that's amazing. You might be surprised at what school that was. If it was my information to share, if I could corroborate it, I certainly would say the name. But it's like, yeah, man, a line between that, between, hey, we are paying you essentially to come here versus you come here and these opportunities will be available for you.
Yeah, so I just don't. What's the
like, and that guy did not sign with the school who said we will double whatever that other school is giving.
Well, I must have been really disappointed in Northwestern or Yale. That would have been funny.
They're coming back for it. But they want to be the winningest team again, man.
That's just like, you know, we're gonna give you money, but we're gonna call it NIL. Right, like, so, yeah, Hunter Dickinson's gonna do some ads. He's gonna make some shirts, but like, what is the fair market value of Hunter Dickinson's name, image, and likeness? I don't know. Fair market value of name, image, and likeness? I don't know. Nobody knows.
We may find out. Wait,
Brian, I sell your NIL all the time. I know exactly what you cost. but here's the difference. This week, we all just saw an ad with, or a lot of people saw the ad with, like, Andre Anthony, and we were watching Michigan players do an ad for, what was it, the video game that all the
Fortnite.
People like.
Fortnite,
yeah. And nobody's response to that was, ooh, I'm going to go play Fortnite. Everyone's response to that was, yes, go get paid, man. All right, I'm glad that we got Fortnite paying our players here. That's what everyone's response was. We already have no difference between pay for play and quote NIL. This is just a fig leaf. And if Michigan is really hung up on a fig leaf and is going to tie their own hands behind their backs over a fig leaf that nobody cares about, this seems psychotic to me.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. old man yells at cloud. I disagree. I mean, it's more than a fig leaf. In one case, what you're saying in the NIL case, what you're saying is that student, that athlete, can do the same thing everybody else in the culture can do. He can come in, he can sell his name, his likeness. He can go out and do a camp. He can go out and do what every other student at the university can do, which is make money based upon his market abilities to make money. That's a big difference from Michigan saying, hey, come here, and on the day of your signing, you'll sign $1 million contract. And we're hearing these numbers in that level. We're hearing $3.25 million contracts. That's out there for that wide receiver at Pitt.
Roman Wilson is not making – Roman Wilson didn't make that ad because he's a great actor. Okay. There was, if you watch the ad, you're looking at that going, oh my God, like it was cringeworthy.
Is he better than Cade Cunningham?
Him the money because he's an actor. He's a football player. He's been spending his whole life becoming a great football player.
He is
one of the fastest people in the country for his age group. And that is why he's a valuable person. That's what they should be making their money on in the first place. Okay, that's what he's making his money off of. I'm sorry, you know what I mean, though. Everyone knows what I mean. That's what he's making his money on. No one's looking at Seth Fisher and going, that's a good-looking guy. I'm going to pay him some money for that, right? Like, this football analysis and stuff is what we're doing here. The value that he's getting paid for is his football prowess. And, I mean, we're not even pretending, so why – like throw a fig leaf on it. I don't get that.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, I still disagree. I mean, yes, that's what he's selling is his name, image, likeness. And part of that is his football ability. Part of that may be his connection to the University of Michigan. And that's all fine. But, you know, and it's what the original complaints of students and commentators were. How come a kid who's at the University of Michigan or any other school can't do what every other kid at the school can do? And that's the issue. And
that's not the only issue, though.
Well, to me,
Lane Kiffin just told Sports Illustrated that these are professional players and we're a professional sport. And NIL has legalized all the stuff that was cheating before.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the practice. That's the functional matter and not the abstraction of it.
It's literally impossible to parse out what is name, image, and likeness and what is pay for play. Because these amounts that people are getting paid, nobody has any idea whether they're legitimate business deals or not. Now,
let's go with not.
Well, but even like, how are you supposed to say, like, if Al Rose Steele wants to hire a Michigan player, like, what is the fair market value? You don't know. So it's practically unenforceable. So why try to enforce it? If you do actually professionalize the sport, you get to sign people to contracts and you get to like tamp down on the portal stuff. Right. And that's the problem. Not fact that people are getting money, the fact that every year in basketball, you're replacing half your roster and you're getting many fewer Xavier Simpsons and more guys who are just hitting the door as soon as anything happens, because there's no reason to stay if you get a little bit of adversity. Now, if you actually professionalize the sport and you're like, okay, this is a 3-year contract of an NBA out, you don't have a Bobby Hurley out, then I think the arguments that the NCAA was making about paying players, reducing interest in the sport, are invalid. But I think they actually do have a case that the transfer portal stuff is out of hand and could be a negative impact on their business model.
Yeah, understand that when I say this is not me making the case, sort of espousing my position. But I wonder if there's a concern. I wonder if there's a concern about setting a precedent. I hear what Craig is talking about. There's a certain way, a certain standard that they want to adhere to. Maybe a personal standard. They may be the only ones adhering to that standard, but they feel like this is what it's going to be eventually, that there is going to be some law and order that governs the NIL and transfer portal process. So we're going to operate according to that, because if we violate that now and try to put the horses back in the barn, then we have changed our culture in a way that will allow for people to question, well, wait a minute. Weren't you guys just willing to get deals for XYZ to come to this school? Weren't you just willing to get a deal for Hunter Dickinson? For everyone that comes after, why wouldn't you do, within the rules, why wouldn't you do more of those things that you were doing back in the day and you aren't doing now? I wonder if they're concerned about setting a precedent that they don't want to have to adhere to down the line, or have to adhere to for any length of time, however long it takes to get some rules around to govern this thing.
Brian's argument is, yeah, that's all fine, but in 3 or 4 years, once it straightens out, or maybe it was Seth's argument or both, is that in 3 or 4 years, once the sort of water reaches the quote definitive or defined level, Michigan will be Northwestern or maybe University of Chicago, yeah, worse. I mean, and I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. And that may be the consequence of, because understand, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is what I would do. We're speculating, right, about why they're doing what they're doing.
How dumb do they think the players are? Because the players are going to be in this process too. They are now they're the people you're going to have to deal with. They're the people that when they have these contracts, you're going to have to work with.
Here's what I do know. They do not want to be in the business of getting deals for players. They don't want to do that. Because if you get in the business of getting a deal for Hunter Dickinson, then when Terrence Reed comes in, go get me a deal. You just got a deal for Hunter. And then the same thing when you look at other sports. You just got a deal for Hunter over in basketball. JJ's like, go get me a deal. And if you get JJ a deal, then you have Case. So wait a minute, you just got JJ a deal. Go get me a deal. I think that's the practical. That's not a rule thing as much as it is a practical concern.
Do you think Alabama's had any trouble with that over the – I mean, you think Texas A&M is, like, sitting here going, man,
I think they probably did have that issue. I don't think it deterred them, clearly, right? I do think it's been an issue.
Let's be a little bit honest here. Michigan has – even if the coaches haven't been involved in it, Michigan's found ways to get players money. They were doing it when I was in college. They were doing it, they've been doing it forever. Michigan back in the day was built on this. Yost was the biggest cheater of everybody. And that's why his team's really good, because he and Chicago were paying players. This is not a new thing. Everyone's worked out this system already. Every single company in the world has people making more money and less money. And you know what? You take a deal. You take a contract, and then it doesn't matter. Look, here is what your value was when you signed this contract. You agreed to work for this pay. You agreed to be here. And that's what it was. If somebody else is making more, it costs more to get them here. People have been dealing with this in our society for hundreds of years. We figured this out already.
All right, we need to get to a break. We'll pick this discussion up on the other side. I know Craig has some hockey points he wants to get to. We got a lot still to come here on the MGO Blog Roundtable and a Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.